Okay, I pray you're ready for a little bit of a different type of message, because what came in yesterday, it was a challenging day yesterday. The night was very difficult. And all I heard consistently was, are you learning how to love? And then he would add, yourself. So learning how to love myself is not exactly something comfortable. Not when the body is screaming for attention. Not when you're having to use medication, which is fine. But he was trying to tell me something. And so he brought me back to a book that I've read quite a while back. Those of you who remember, Paul Keith can be quite an irritation. And it's the thrones of my soul that are being, let's say, allowed to flare up. And the tears are visible. And I don't like it. The me not liking it does not allow me not to love. So I repeat. Me being unhappy about the test does not allow me to stop loving. We have a tendency, because of the critical mind and the law-based statutes that are in us from the time we're very young, we coordinate everything with it's godly or it's ungodly. It's the tree of life or the tree of death. And we mix them all together. And then we say, oh yes, I'm going to love myself. Well, you can make the decision, but God is not going to be mocked. So he brought me yesterday to page 58. In this particular book, and I just want to share a little bit, because I believe it's about today. It is a noble pursuit for us to set our affections on heaven and petition the Lord for an outpouring of his anointing. It is an even higher purpose when brethren join together in unity and affection as a corporate body, having one voice and asking for the intervention of God in the affairs of men. This will produce a spirit of revival that will rejuvenate a church or community with spirit and life. The Lord will bless harmony among men, even if diversity and individuality exists. A state of perfection is not required for the anointing to be imparted. Only a heart of sincerity and love. A heart of sincerity and a heart of love. Well, I don't qualify in that corner most of the time because I'm critical. I have a critical spirit that has been operating in me, coordinated by pride and justification, et cetera, et cetera. And sometimes anger. Anger jumps in there when I least expect it. But he's remembering, a state of perfection is not required for the anointing to be imparted. Praise God. Only a heart of sincerity and love. A heart of sincerity, meaning, yes, I'm dedicated. I want to go forward. But the love part, most of the time, kind of fades away from my vision. So I ask the Lord for grace and forgiveness. Because you see, the hardest person to love is me. The hardest person to love is me. I am fully aware of my weaknesses, Because there's an accuser on my case 99 times 99. He's always on the job trying to tear me apart. And I said, Lord, how do I overcome this? Because I'm tired of watching the old pattern reignite hatred and anger and disappointment. So he adds, when a group becomes united in heart and in his purpose, the Holy Spirit will deposit favor and blessings among them. I said, Lord, that whole package has to be inside of me before I can teach it to somebody else. He said, I tell you loud and clear, a state of perfection is not required for the anointing to be imparted, only a heart of sincerity and love. Only a heart that is sincere and a heart of love. I said, Lord, I can love somebody else and their problem. Why can't I have a heart to love myself with a problem? And he reminded me that there were two trees in a garden, and obviously my ancestors bowed to it, and so did I. So I go back to the two trees in the garden because I remember reading that many, many, many years ago. And it was such a gift. But you know what? The enemy tries to bring in all kinds of fogginess to it. And he tries to make us reestablish some of those guidelines that we learned from Adam and Eve. He has established his spirit within us, which is the spirit of the Most High, by the Holy Ghost. And the Holy Spirit has a full-time job of teaching me how to love myself. I stress the word teaching me. So here we go. Our divine purpose. We are living in the harvest generation. All the seeds deposited in the Garden of Eden are coming to full maturity. All the seeds deposited in the Garden of Eden are coming to full maturity. Both the seeds of darkness and the seeds of light are developing and requiring an active response on our part. This will cause some who have straddled the spiritual fence to take one side or the other. So I made a decision and I said, Lord, I want it to be a quality decision. And I recall John Paul Jackson, when he would pray and say, I'm not in my right mind right now, Lord, so don't listen to my mouth because I'm on a real tirade. But at other times, he would say, I am in my right mind right now, and I want you to clean me up. I want those seeds to be allowed to grow, and let me see what has been in control of me and causing me to hate myself so much. Not when my Savior was allowed to die on that tree for me. We must be blistering hot, or else we will find ourselves overcome by darkness. I must be blistering hot, or else I will find myself overcome by darkness. One of the byproducts of the shingles was intense burning in my chest. The fire would be so hot underneath my arm and on my chest that it felt like I had 110 degrees of temperature. And the Lord said, that's only a picture of what my fire is doing inside of you. He said, this is not an accident that this is happening now. I don't want anybody else to have this problem. But I am telling each and every one of you that problems do happen, and they're allowed by God. And they're going to show you things about yourself that you're not going to like. But by choosing a heart of love towards yourself and a heart of sincerity to keep on going when you don't understand, you will be the overcomer that he's qualifying all of us to become. I repeat, we must be blistering hot, or else we will find ourselves overcome by darkness. The times will no longer allow for lukewarm Christianity. The spirit of Antichrist is coming to full maturity in the earth. And you can say ouch on that one. Likewise, the spirit of Christ is developing maturity in the hearts of many who will demonstrate the overcoming victory he achieved through the mighty expression of spiritual authority and power. That's the next level right there. The Lord has promised he is going to establish a biblical government with apostolic authority necessary for the preparation of his end time church. You say, how long does it take to prepare? How stubborn are you about loving yourself? How long are you going to put up with your mindsets and the way that you judge yourself when Jesus already paid the price in full? The Lord has promised he is going to establish. He's not about to establish. He will do it. It's going to be a biblical government of apostolic authority necessary for the preparation of the end time church. That is the purpose for the identification of worldly fortresses within us and the extraction of their influence. Extracting the influence of darkness in me is not an easy work. It's got to be done by God, because I don't have it. I admit that I don't have it. But when I admit that I don't have it, I humble myself and I say, Father, just do it. I don't know what you're going to do. I don't know how you're going to do it, but I'm humbling myself and I want you to clean it up. I want these fortresses to be exposed. A great opportunity of grace is being released to the church if we will embrace it. But before it happens in the church, it's got to happen in its people. It's got to happen in me. This will begin the process of separating the precious from the worthless. The Lord can only trust us with the fullness of his power and authority when our character and nature is consistent with his. You say, I only got a page and a half, and already I don't know if I can digest it. And I said, Lord, what you did in Christ Jesus, what you did in the apostles, and he reminded me of St. Paul going in the desert for 13 years. Why was he in the desert for 13 years? To get rid of the garbage that he found in himself. To get rid of the darkness and the fortresses that had controlled him from the time he was a child. He became the author of so much of the Bible. But he had to be prepared first. The Holy Spirit is also stressing the importance of understanding spiritual authority. If we are to fully comprehend the unfolding of his plan and the imminent release of his anointing, his governmental design will provide a new holy canopy of power. Did you hear that? His His governmental design will provide a new holy canopy of power and grace within the church as the apostolic anointing and authority begin to be revealed with maturity. The true sign of maturity is found in the expression of his glory and his manifest goodness. There will be tangible presentation of his person. You see, you can read all this, and it's for all of the others except for me. Because after all, I don't love me yet. But that doesn't mean he's not downloading the truth into us. And by choice, we accept his grace to carry out the loving compassion of Jesus to ourselves. The apostolic anointing will function as a cloud by day and will serve as a flaming fire by night, providing a canopy of glory over believers. Did you hear that? Providing a canopy of glory over believers who have been washed and purged by the spirit of judgment and the spirit of burning. The prophet Isaiah foresaw that day and spoke of it. When the Lord has washed away the filth of the daughters of Zion and purged the bloodshed of Jerusalem from her midst by the spirit of judgment and the spirit of burning, then the Lord will create over the whole area of Mount Zion, over her assemblies, a cloud by day, even smoke, and the brightness of a flaming fire by night. For over all the glory will be a canopy, and there will be a shelter to give shade from the heat by day and refuge and protection from the storm and the rain. Isaiah 4, 4 through verse 6. You see, the beginning of seeing and the beginning of hearing is a choice. And so it goes back to learning to love myself. It goes back to accepting his unfolding plan that he's put in us. And sometimes we have no energy to change it. No desire even to change anything about ourselves. And we give up. And the Lord said, but there's one thing that never failed. So he brought me to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And I'm going to back it up to verse 28. So God has appointed some in the church for his own use. That's the Amplified. First apostles, special messengers, second prophets, inspired preachers, and expounders. Third, teachers, then wonder workers, then those with ability to heal the sick, helpers, administrators, speakers in different unknown tongues, are all apostles, special messengers, are all prophets, inspired interpreters of the will and purposes of God, are all teachers, do all have the power of performing miracles? Do all possess extraordinary power of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But earnestly desire, zealously cultivate the greatest and best gift and graces, the higher gifts and the choicest graces. And yet I will show you a still more excellent way, one that is better by far and the highest of them all, love. It goes back to watching Paul, because he's the writer. How many years did he spend in that desert before he was actually able to open his mouth? The scripture says 13 years. I would say 13 plus. You see, he describes what love is in verse 4 of chapter 13. And remember, before you can love someone else, you've got to love yourself. Love your neighbor as yourself. Love endures long and is patient, verse 4, and it's kind. Well, I'm very good at being patient with someone else, but I'm not too good at being patient with myself. Love never envies nor boils over with jealousy. Is not boastful or vainglorious. Does not display itself haughtily. In other words, when you're in love with yourself and you see your own failure, your love for the other or your neighbor is going to be a lot easier. It is not conceited, arrogant, and inflated with pride. It is not rude, unmannerly, and does not act unbecomingly. Love, and in parentheses it says, God's love in us. That's the sneaky right there. The sneaky little gift that he has put in us. It is love. Does not insist on its own rights or its own way. For it is not self-seeking. It is not touchy or fretful or resentful. It takes no account of the evil done to it. It pays no attention to a suffered wrong. It does not rejoice at injustice and unrighteousness, but rejoices when right and truth prevail. Just pause there for a second. When you see your ability to love yourself without conditions, without prejudice, without self-awareness of how great you are in your own eyes, the pride falls apart. Verse 7, love bears up under anything and everything that comes, is ever ready to believe the best of every person. Its hopes are fadeless under all circumstances, and it endures everything without weakening. I wish they didn't put the without weakening in there, because then I could relate to it a little bit better. Because I find my energy levels of loving myself when I see so many areas that could or would be different if I could just simply hold on. Love never fails, never fades out or becomes obsolete or comes to an end. As for prophecy and the gifts of interpreting the divine will and purposes, it will be fulfilled and pass away. As for tongues, they will be destroyed and cease. As for knowledge, it will pass away. It will lose its value and be suspended by truth. Superseded by truth, I'm sorry. For our knowledge is fragmentary, incomplete, and imperfect. And our prophecy, our teachings, is fragmentary, incomplete, and imperfect. But when the complete and perfect total comes, when the complete and perfect comes, the incompleteness and imperfect will vanish away and becomes antiquated, void, and superseded. When I was a child, I talked like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. Now I have become a man or a woman. I am done with childish ways and have put them aside. For now, we are looking in a mirror that gives only a dim, blurred reflection of reality, as in the riddle of the enigma. But then, when perfection comes, we shall see in reality and face to face. Now I know in part, but then I will know and understand fully and clearly, even in the same manner as I have been fully and clearly known and understand and understood by God. That one there is probably the most difficult to digest. I want to repeat verse 12. For now we are looking in a mirror that gives only a dim blur, a reflection of reality, as in a riddle or enigma. But then when perfection comes, he doesn't say it won't come. It doesn't say that it might come. He really is saying it will come. We shall see in reality and face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know and understand fully and clearly, even in the same manner as I have been fully and clearly known and understood by God. When that reality comes in, that God knew all along what he was about to do in his creation and how difficult they were to put up with. And when we read in Exodus how difficult it was for those who had a slave mentality to have it worked out of them, it took the Holy Spirit to impact you and me, to awaken us. And he's not done with any of us. The Holy Spirit is after a work so deep in us that I don't think we have even a clue of how much love that we will be able to give out others and to others when we are realizing how much he loves us and how we need to love each other and loving ourselves. Verse 13, and so faith, hope, love abides. Faith, conviction, and belief respecting a man's relation to God and divine things, hope, joyful, and confident expectation of eternal salvation, love, true affection for God and man, growing out of God's love for and in us, for and in ourselves. These three, but the greatest of these is love. So I said to the Lord this morning, you really want to go to this corner? He said, you're only going to scratch the edge, but if you release it, it will multiply. Each of you have walked in places and have experienced all kinds of brokenness in the past few weeks because of this corona disease. Listening to some of the restrictions have been difficult. Our freedoms are being eradicated. And it's not a godly thing that we're watching. But you see, loving those that are in authority is not exactly comfortable. We have a tendency to judge. And we should. Because the scripture says we're going to judge angels. We better start judging those that are in position and intercede for them. Intercede for them that they will become what God has called them to become. And as we love ourselves with the kind of love that the Lord gives, we'll have compassion for those that are more broken than we are. So again, to remember that his creation is going to be restored fully. And I repeat, the Lord will bless harmony among men, even if diversity and individuality exist. A state of perfection is not required for the anointing to be imparted. Only a heart of sincerity and love. When a group becomes united in heart and in his purpose, the Holy Spirit will deposit favor and blessing among us. So if you'll close your eyes and put your hand over your heart. Lord Jesus, I'm trusting your word that there's going to be a new grace today going to every heart, where love of self will be of the God kind of love, without judgment, without criticalness, without fault finding, and it'll start blossoming in our hearts more and more each day, because we already qualify. You've imparted sincerity into each and every one of us, and now I'm asking for more love than we've ever had before. Towards ourselves first, towards those that are in authority over us, coming from the towns, villages, cities, states, and countries and nations. Yes, Lord, I include nations, for we will impact those that you have given us to speak to love, to impart love when they have none, to impart grace and favor when they have zero, and to give them understanding when they cry out for grace. I ask this, Lord, that you would continue to reveal the seeds that were deposited in us that came from the Garden of Eden. And as they're growing into maturity, the seeds of darkness will be burned up, and the seeds of life will develop and require active participation on our part, and to accept the love that Jesus gave us by his sacrifice on the cross. I ask this in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said,
amen.
Amen. Are we learning how to love ourselves? And I can tell you, it's a choice. The emotions don't match all the time. The emotions flare up when you least expect it. But his grace is sufficient. I believe St. Paul was saying to each of us, and every one of us, when he said the more perfect is on the way, he was talking about we loving ourselves, and the byproduct of it, you won't be able to judge or condemn, because you see, you'll be aware of what Jesus has done for you and what he's still doing.